Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is King Scott Radio and TV Productions. We have a very fascinating show today. We are going to be talking about the business of death with Johnson & Jenkins Funeral Home. This is a long-standing funeral home that's been in the community for many, many years. And today we have Ms. Jenkins, and she's going to discuss the issues of being prepared for this must-happen event. I say it that way because it's got to happen. And with that being said, you should be prepared for the trauma that you're about to face. But this particular funeral home has a unique way of soothing things. And that is an important word when you lose a loved one. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Ms. Jenkins. Ms. Jenkins, please speak to your audience.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today.
Ms. Jenkins, you've been in this business for quite some time. You've been a staple here in the community. First, let's talk a little bit about you and your education and how you actually got to this plateau in your life.
Certainly. I am third-generation funeral director. I went to the University of the District of Columbia, graduated from the mortuary science department. This business was started in about, 1937 by my great-uncle Fred D. Jenkins and a Mr. Johnson. My father took over in 1975, and I took over in about 2010.
Wow. Jesus, that seems like a long time ago.
It does. There's a whole lot of history here. We've had several locations in the district, and we moved into this building on Kennedy Street in 1975.
Well, let's talk about the locations for a moment. Can you tell us where you all are located and your phone number and definitely your email, because we are now in the 21st century.
Yes, sir. We are located at 716 Kennedy Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C., the phone number here is 202-882-8800. My email address is jjfrank@aol.com. And our website is johnsonandjenkinsfh, one word.
Ms. Jenkins, when a tragedy happens, let's say, let me give you a scenario. Someone is in a terrible accident, and let's say it's 3:30 in the morning. Are they able to get in touch with a facility like this?
That we do. We answer the phones 24 hours a day, so you can call us at any time. The business is open from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sundays, and after hours, I answer the phones.
Ms. Jenkins, take me there. What will you tell the person that's on the other end there? They're crying, they're upset, they're panicking. And what would you tell them?
First, I always offer my condolences to the family at the loss of their loved one, because I know, again, I have family too, and it is a trying and can be traumatic time. Then I just garner information about what it is that they like to do, where their loved one is. If it's an accident like that, more than likely they're going to be at the medical examiner's office, so you know, we have time lapse there. If a person passes at home under hospice care in a nursing home, then we immediately have to make the removal. And I will dispatch someone to do just that.
3:30 in the morning?
Yes, sir.
So you don't get up out of bed and do this.
No, sir.
No, sir. You call someone and they're programmed to go into action.
Right.
And this is your team.
Yes.
I see.
We have a couple of good removal services who I rely on heavily. And when I call them, they answer.
Ms. Jenkins, there's been a lot of speculation about the business of death, what happens, the costs, certainly the trauma, the psychological effect of people when this happens. Take me through a scenario where you're leading them up to getting everything in order and prepared. What would you be doing?
I sit down first, and after the initial phone call with people, they would come into the funeral home and make arrangements. At that time, we sit down and I try to have a conversation to find out a little bit about the family, a little bit about their loved one, you know, what their preferences are, truthfully what their budget is, and exactly what they want to do, how they want to express or celebrate their loved one's life. It comes in many different ways.
There's been a rumor that you would actually go to the person's house.
Oh, yes. Sometimes we have seniors or people who aren't able to travel. So I myself and one of my funeral directors will go to a home and make funeral arrangements. Yes, sir.
That is a very detailed service. Are you aware that other funeral homes do such things?
I am not, but I'm kind of tunnel vision. I have enough to do keeping up with me
in my funeral home. So now that we are in the front room, because we're at someone's home and we're talking about either a child or
spouse,
adult, any one of the family members has lost their life. Take me, where do we go from here?
First, I sit down and, you know, like I said, I try to talk to the family so, you know, everybody can be comfortable in conversation, because it really is not easy when you're trying to make funeral arrangements for someone you love, whether you knew it was coming or it was a, you know, surprise, or accident, like you said, or someone maybe passed unexpectedly from a heart attack or something. I try my best, you know, to sit down and engage with the family first so we can build a camaraderie so that I can ask the hard questions that I have to ask.
In lieu of preparation, what would you suggest? Because we're in the 21st century now. Everything is fast and microwave. You push a button. And so what would you suggest to your audience to be better prepared for situations like this as you get older in this United States?
Now, I have this conversation all the time with people. Unfortunately, most people do not like to talk about death. They do not like to plan their funeral, but it is the way that each and every one of us is going to go. So having said that, I try to encourage people to definitely have good insurance. Prepay, if you can, prepay your funeral, prepay the cemetery. Have as much in place as you can.
Give me some details about the prepay, because some of us would think that that means that you get money before anything happens. Give us the insight as to how that takes place.
It does. You can prepay your funeral and the money is put in the bank account and held. Same with the cemetery. You can prepay your grave, open and closing, vault liner, so that pre-need is less expensive than at-need. Pre-need, sometimes a lot of cemeteries and different establishments will offer discounts if you prepay. At-need is the most expensive, and there's usually not a lot of breaks at that time.
Is the cost of death reasonable, out of control? How would you gauge it now?
It is, good question. I think it is, I'm not going to say out of control, but it definitely is costly. Average cemetery around here probably is about $7,800 average. There are a few that are less, that are more, there are more that are higher. We have package prices starting at $35.75 for a funeral. I'd say that's reasonable.
Did you all hear that? I mean, that needs to be emphasized, because I know I'm in the ministry and I've actually constructed a number of funerals just in being in that profession. And that is a very reasonable price. How do you stay competitive that way?
I don't know. I just know that's the price we offer to the people we serve. And people seem to, I say it's competitive because, especially this, you know, generation nowadays, they definitely do shop around. Back in the old days, you had a funeral home, it was a family funeral home, it was a church funeral home, and that's where you stayed. Now people will say, okay, I'm going to check another couple of funeral homes and I'll call you back. And usually they call back. So I'm appreciative of that.
How can you be taken advantage of in this line of business?
I would say unscrupulous funeral directors. But let me just say this too. People think, and this is just my personal opinion, I'm probably going to get some flack for this, but such is life. When people start shopping for caskets outside of the funeral home, what happens, we're allowed to do package pricing. So when you start buying caskets outside of the packages, you break the package. And that the funeral home can then charge you itemization, item by item, service by service. And people end up usually spending more money than they would if they had stayed with the funeral home and the package.
Well, I know in my case, my father purchased 4 caskets before it was even thought of. What would we do now in a situation like that?
Where did you buy the caskets from? A cemetery?
Quite frankly, I don't know. I just know we had 4 of them, and 3 of them have been used, and 1 is left for me.
Okay.
So that's not something that I pre-planned, but it happens when people come in and they have that kind of scenario. What can you do for them?
I definitely work with people. You know, I work with your friends. You won't be here anymore, but I work with your family.
That's good to know.
Yeah, because of the relationship we have. But I try to work with people, but at the same time, I want to educate because, again, it's not law that I have to, you know, give you a package when you brought in your own casket. So I definitely try to work with people and say, okay, let's see what we can work to keep this within reason and that you already have a casket.
Well, let me ask you this, Ms. Jenkins, because I'm puzzled as to what's going on now. You suggest that we prepay our funeral package. So what age should that start at?
I would say as soon as you become an adult. Think funeral packages, funeral homes is a business like any other business, and so is a cemetery. And we have to have, price increases to keep up with our overhead costs, and the funeral and the cemeteries go up basically every year also. So it would behoove you to lock yourself in a price now, as opposed to having to come up with, again, an enormous amount of money for an at-need scenario.
So you saying that when a person turns 21, they should be looking at?
I don't know 21, but definitely I would say to me by 30, okay. I'd be something I would really be looking at, especially when you begin to marry and have children, because you get a certain amount of insurance, you know, through your job or whatever, you get an amount and you say, you know, I want to leave this for my family. I want to leave this for my kids. And then 15,000 of it is going to bury you. Yeah, that's a big chunk.
Wow. So this particular radio station is geared towards the millennial. So what would you tell the millennial person that is between 30 and 35? I know it's your ambition to go out and talk to different communities about this business of death. Mm-hmm. What makes you want to do something like that in this day and time? Because people, like you said, don't want to talk about it, but it's a necessary fact.
And that herein lies my frustration. We're so ill-prepared. I have so many people that come to my office to make funeral arrangements and first say, you know, I don't know what to do. I've never done this before. And I truly understand that because you don't bury somebody every day. And I pray you don't bury somebody every day. They come in and say, you know, I didn't know this, and I didn't know that, I didn't know funerals cost this, I didn't know cemeteries cost that. And they're just, you know, they're overwhelmed. Along with grieving, you know, they become overwhelmed. So it's something that I wish people would really think about. You don't have to dwell on it, but just prepare yourself. Prepare yourself.
Let's talk about if a child, a child is lost. Is it cheaper?
Depends on the size of the child, honestly. And I say that because caskets come in sizes for children. So you can have a 12 or 13 year old who's going to need an adult size casket. So then, no.
Do they come in different sizes for adults?
Not so much height as much width, truthfully.
I see.
So, excuse me. So So they do come in different sizes as of width, and there are oversized caskets, and then that makes you have to get into an oversized grave.
An oversized grave.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's why we're talking about this. What exactly is an oversized grave?
A grave that when the casket is bigger, the casket and the vault are bigger than the dimensions the cemetery has set aside for a standard grave. So in this area, some places will make you get two graves. Some places will have oversized sections.
Two graves?
Yes, at least. They're getting better. I think so many people have complained they're getting better about it. So I know certain cemeteries have like an oversized section was like a grave and a half. Because again, there's a certain dimension for the casket and the vault to fit into the grave. So if it goes over that, you need a bigger vault, then you're going to need two graves.
So we're talking about more money if it's oversized.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Have you had a situation where a casket had to be made for a person?
No, not at this point. They have caskets that go up to be very, very large. Like maybe 40 inches
wow.
on the inside, which is, and I could be wrong, but I think the standard casket is on the inside 24 inches.
Well, that seems like a small person.
Normal. Okay. I guess that's the norm, because that's what the standard is. I believe it's 24.
So, Ms. Jenkins, going forward, what is it that you want us to... Well, you've explained some facets of the business that I really had no idea of, and your audience is curious as well. But I guess what I want to get to is how best can we manage the death process, the church process, the grieving process? What, because you experience this every day, you've seen it for years. How would you help us to understand what we need to do, how we need to do it, and the best way to get it done without losing our mind?
Very good question, sir. The thing I stress the most is preparedness. Again, every one of us is going to have to go that way someday. Having insurance, having bank accounts, prepaying your funeral, prepaying your cemetery, so that, number one, you don't leave your family grieving and then struggling. Because I see that happen quite a bit, where families on top of grieving are trying to figure out how to bury their loved ones. Read your insurance policies. A lot of policies have contestable clauses, which means for 2 years, you will not be paid the full benefit of your insurance. So if you get a policy for $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, and you get it January 1, 2019, and you pass January 1, 2020, you're not covered for that $5,000, $10,000, or $20,000 because it has not been enforced for 2 years.
Do they tell you that?
It's in your policy. We need to read.
Is it the fine print that we don't read?
No, it's not fine print. It's not fine print. It's a very big paragraph. It's a very wow. big paragraph. And I'm being honest, the only reason I know this is because I do this.
So in that case, I have to come up with cash money?
You may. Yeah. You may.
Wow.
Yes.
Tell me about the cat fight. Because we want to know, when you have families come in and there are disagreements, there's misunderstandings, ooh, and you are stuck right in the middle.
I have been, literally. Literally. Yes,
that sir. That being said, how do you work that out when one that you know is being unfair, unreasonable, just nasty, and the other just wants to get the business of getting the person laid to rest?
You know, my whole thing is I follow the law, and I tell people, you know, you all don't agree, but I can't move unless you do. I can't move unless you do. So let us all get together to honor this person that you come here to plan their funeral and their burial. There's nothing to fight over. That's my opinion. The person you love is no longer here. What are we fighting for? So let us work together to give them a respectful, dignified funeral, and I'm sure they would not want their family fighting like this. And so you give people time to calm down, and sometimes I laugh. I'm a funeral director. I'm a therapist. I'm a lawyer. I'm an accountant.
Wow.
I'm a UN peacekeeper.
you wear many hats.
I wear many hats, and it's all good. It's for the people that I serve and honor me by allowing me to serve them. But sometimes you just have to say, okay, bottom line is, if you don't agree, we can't go on.
We can't go on. Ms. Jenkins, there are other parts of you that we want to know about. We know that you do a lot of community work. Can you talk about that? Because I know outside your building there is a little mini library. I know that you cover a lot of different events that people would not imagine you, that you have your hands in. Now, not that we want to brag on you terribly, but we certainly want to know what kind of person that we are dealing with in this business, and because we would like to see you continue to grow. You have family. Can you talk about your community service work?
Honestly, I'm being very honest. If I'm asked, I definitely donate, give what I can. If I need to give time, I give that too. Mr. Lonnie Mack, who we just had his funeral here not too long ago, was very big into this community, and we met. Let me say this: I was so honored that his family chose to funeral because he really was well loved and respected in this community. And we will work together for what he did at the kids at Emory. And so I always donate to that Kennedy Street Day. They have my parking lot every year. and we try to donate something to that every year. Just any way that I can help, if it's with a donation. The little library out front, and I hope I can get through this without crying. Very good friend of mine. Just had his funeral on Tuesday. He and his mom. Constance Laws is his mom. Lawrence Laws is his name. Asked could they install that little library right in the front of our parking lot. I'm going to try to get a plaque on there to put in loving memory of his honor. Just buried him on Tuesday. And we have been friends since the playground. Like, since we were 8 or 9 years old. I'm not going to tell how old I am, but almost 50 years we were friends. So we just do things to try to enhance the community, try to hire from. I've hired many youth from the community. Let them, young folks work here. Give them a start on how to act professionally and how to work in the professional work world. So not major things, just little things, but consistently.
Well, when I came in, you were actually in a conversation with one of the council members to do some community work.
Yes, I grew up in Riggs Park, Northeast. Yay, Riggs Park for life. Ms. Lillian Huff, who lived across the street from me and was so dominant and prominent in D.C. Politics, in the community, Ward 4, Ward 5, and right on South Dakota Avenue, there's a library. I think it's the Romney's Library. I pass it every day and don't remember the name. But she was instrumental. She fought for us to get that library, because in Riggs, we would have to go to Woodbridge over on Rhode Island, and she fought to get that library for us. So this year at Lamond Riggs in Michigan Park Day, something they celebrate every year, I hope to present her daughter, who was, oh my gosh, I lived in Miss South Dakota when I was a kid, who was a very good and still good friend of mine, a plaque. And we're also working, Miss Huff passed, we're also working to get the library renamed in her name. I'm definitely trying to move the bandwagon on that. She was so instrumental in summer jobs. She had her daughter and I working on Jimmy Carter's, again, giving my age, Jimmy Carter's campaign. We weren't old enough to vote, so she had us stuffing envelopes. And she's just always been she was known through the council, throughout the city. If you wanted something done, you call Lillian Huff. So hopefully that will pan out, and I will be there just overjoyed when they rename that library in her name, in her honor.
That is excellent. You talked about someone else's daughter. Let's talk about your daughter. Are your children involved with the business?
I have my oldest daughter, yes, thank you. My oldest daughter is a licensed funeral director. Actually, she has more licenses than I do. And she works here with me. So, yes, my other daughter, one is a cosmetologist, and the other one is a physician's assistant. So, but they're all very active in the business. Hopefully, everybody will get their license one day. So, when I'm no longer here, they can carry on.
So, Ms. Jenkins, we're coming to a closing for this particular episode. Let's talk about the next episode. What do you want to focus on in terms of how you're going to explain this business, how we are going to begin to understand that it's not something to fear, but it is something to embrace? And as we move forward, how you plan to educate us, because we're coming to you. We're understanding that we have to begin to get comfortable with the idea that we all must do this at some point in time.
Just as you said, I don't know about embrace. I don't think anybody will ever embrace death wholly, but understanding. Unfortunately, again, is something every one of us has to do. So let's, you know, put aside our fears, our anguish for a few minutes, and get to the business. And the business is just like everything else. When you plan to buy a house, when you plan to buy, you know, insurance, you should plan your funeral. The easiest funerals I have ever done are the ones where people have planned their funerals. I have people call me. I have one lady who calls me all the time and has me shopping around for cemeteries for her so that she's already planned her funeral with us, and now she's trying to get the money together to pay for her cemetery. And she pays on it. And when she closes, she has two daughters, so when she closes her eyes, her first thing was they won't have anything to fight about. It's done. It's done. And that is really, in my opinion, the way it should be.
So are you going to be able to talk about the future of the business in terms of how it applies to the everyday American and basically how we can avoid the pitfalls of scams?
Yes, definitely. I would only deal with reputable funeral homes. I guess you can Google everything else. Google that too. I'm being honest. I definitely, not just because I'm here, but definitely deal with only a reputable funeral home. That's number one. Again, I cannot stress enough pre-planning. If you, I have a lot of people that come in here who have done for their parents. I met one guy who was at the time the head of the Calvin Coolidge alumni, and I'm a graduate of Calvin Coolidge Senior High. And we connected because he came in to prepay for his parents' funerals. And I ended up joining the Alumni Association, lifetime member, and just started connecting with people there. So definitely, it was a good thing for both of us, but that he has already taken care of his parents' funerals. So when the time comes, it's done. And I can't stress that enough. Talk to lawyers. Talk to funeral homes. Talk to cemeteries. Definitely. Do not leave anything. If you need money to bury yourself, don't leave your insurance to a child, because insurance companies don't pay children. Okay? You have to wait till they're 18 or 21, depending on the law of the state which the insurance policy was written in. If you don't trust anybody, get a bank account that says payable on death. And that way, nobody can touch your money while you're alive, but somebody can come get it to bury you when you're gone.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of things. There's a whole lot of things you can do. I had one case where, a gentleman was married. This was back in the 80s. A gentleman was married to a woman, and they never divorced. But they had been separated over 30 years. Family didn't even remember the woman's name. But when he passed, They had to go through the probate process at least at that time because he was still married. And technically and legally, that was her money. If they ever found her. Don't know. But it made a big glitch in what the family was able to do for him because they were banking on the fact that he had that money and no one could touch it.
Well, by the time all this is said and done, we're going to have some clarity on the business of death. And we're also looking forward to you having some guests on, other entities sure. that can talk about this business. It's a huge business. But one last important question. Is the business regulated?
Yes, it's regulated. We are regulated by DCRA, Funeral Service Board, FTC, OSHA's in here. It's a whole lot of entities that regulate funeral. And I was getting ready to say something else to you. When you have other guests, one I would really like to talk to is register wills, because that's the process that most gives me the trouble, and that's going through the probate and setting up trust in the states and, you know, who's allowed to do what. If you die without a will, big mess. If you have something, it's a big mess. So exactly who becomes your executor, administrator, who has the right to what. That is very confusing to me. I kind of have a little base on it, but that is very confusing to me, and I usually defer people or refer people to lawyers. But things like that definitely are important, because that's a big problem as far as people dying and not designating or willing things to family, friends, or whoever. That becomes a big problem.
Well, okay. We're going to leave it there. This has been the broadcast of The Business of Death. We're going to be back and talk about this some more with the expert. Certified, bona fide, and qualified, Ms. Jenkins. Ms. Jenkins, thank you so much.
You are so
any
kind.
Shout outs you want to give, because we know that you have a fan base.
I don't know about that, but just thank you for all those who entrust your loved ones to Johnson Jenkins Funeral Home. Thank you to those who, definitely my staff, who I adore, who make it easy for me to do what I have to do every day. And thank you, Reverend Scott, for thinking of me to talk to about this. I generally do not promote myself. I let the business speak for itself. But if I can help you or anybody, even if you choose not to come to Johnson Jenkins, if I can give you an advice or lead you in the right direction, don't hesitate to call me. One more thing. You know what? I can't even think of it. But thank you so much for allowing me this moment. There are, if we do future shows, there are still more things I'd like to get into as far as funeral, cemetery, legalities, because I see this so much in it. Maybe because I'm getting older, it really saddens me when a signature, you know, what is an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, a signature on the right paper. If you divorce and remarry, change the beneficiary. If you get insurance, name a beneficiary. Just right, the littlest right. things save your family and your loved ones the biggest headaches. You will be surprised at what people don't do.
And well, this is what we're going to be talking about in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I am your host, Kevin T. Scott, and thank you so much. This has been King Scott Radio and TV Production. We look forward to getting back to you with more information about the business of death. God bless you all.